In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
A blessed and joy-filled new year to you. And on this new year, I have two questions for you. The first is this: did you make any New Year's resolutions? Those promises we make to ourselves to change or improve some aspect of our life. A survey showed that the vast majority of New Year's resolutions fall into one of three categories. One of those categories is health. We lose weight, or exercise, or eat less, or eat better, or drink less, or stop smoking, something along those lines. That's one category, one of the main categories of New Year's resolutions. Another category is financial. Spend less. Save more, reduce or get out of debt, look for a new job, those kind of things. And the third major category is time. The third major category is time, to stop procrastinating, spend less time on social media, less time on television, more time with family, more time reading, those kind of things. So health, financial, and time, those are not all, but they actually represent the vast majority of resolutions. That they fall into one of those categories. And all those things are good. But surveys and statistics also show that the vast majority of those resolutions fail. Most of them are aimed at changing a single behavior. And when we're trying to just change a single behavior, we inevitably stumble. Very few of them are aimed at changing our core being. Very few of them are aimed at changing who we are and where we live and letting that deep core of our being be changed. And we are fortunate. We're blessed to celebrate our Lord's baptism this close to the new year. When Jesus begins his public ministry, he begins it by entering the Jordan waters to be baptized. And we know the story. The voice of the Father booms out from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him in the form of a dove. Now, the Savior's baptism isn't for his sake. The Savior's baptism is for our sake. What do we always say at the dismissal blessings? May Christ, our true God, who was baptized in the Jordan, for our salvation. That phrase is always in there, for our salvation. This is for us. His baptism is for us. His baptism shows what happens at our baptism. When we are baptized, Jesus enters the water with us. When we are baptized, the Father in heaven says, "This is my beloved Son," or "This is my beloved daughter," about you. When we are baptized, the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon you. The Spirit of God, God Himself, rests on you and enters your heart and enters your life. That's what baptism is, the sealing of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, we heard from the Gospel of John today about a different John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, "This is the Lamb of God." And he said, "The Father told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this one, this Jesus, is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Jesus came to seal us and baptize us in the Holy Spirit. That is the core of our baptism, this new life. So baptism isn't just water. It's not just a nice ceremony. Baptism is rebirth in Christ. Baptism is power. Baptism is spiritual gifts. Baptism is the gift of the Spirit of God Himself. And we reflect on that right here at the new year. That's the church's gift to us. Now, Paul lists nine fruits of the Spirit, and those nine are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits of the Holy Spirit are yours for the taking, and they're yours for the giving. And more than that, you can become them. You can become love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Because the Spirit of God has come upon you, you are capable of being love. Because the Spirit of God has come upon you, you are capable of being joy, of being peace, of truly changing your core being, more than just a resolution, of actually changing who you are. You know, the apostles, they just assumed that these gifts of the Holy Spirit were part of the baptism experience. it kind of was a foregone conclusion for them. We heard in the reading from Acts today, Paul goes into Ephesus and he finds some disciples, finds some new believers. And the first thing he asks them, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's the first question he asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Because it's a foregone conclusion, they should have. And these disciples, they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And Paul's answer is, oh, there be. You know, there is a Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and has this discussion with them about this gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ gives. It's about the newness of life. It's not just getting wet. It's not just a ceremony. Paul tells them that this is the gift in which you are raised. The gift of the Holy Spirit is assumed for every believer. And so my second question for you, the first one was, did you make any New Year's resolutions? My second question for you is Paul's. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you? And fortunately for you, I actually have the answer. That answer is yes, indeed. You did receive the Holy Spirit. Christ's baptism is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit offers a changed life and offers a transfigured life, a life marked by those nine fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if your life doesn't quite match that quality, it's not time to panic. It's really not time to panic. You have been reborn and baptized, and that baptism is an immersion in the Holy Spirit. It's not time to panic. It's time to claim. It's time to claim that gift today. It's time to claim the gift that you have been given. A young man back in the early 20th century, fresh out of school, ended up getting hired as a clerk by Woodrow Wilson himself during his campaign for president. Now, as you know, if you know your history, Woodrow Wilson was elected president, and at his inauguration party, his inauguration ceremony, he gave each of his, all the people there, every single person there, a very elegant bottle of wine. And just as a courtesy, he said, you know, use this for a special occasion. And so this young man was really excited about getting this bottle of wine from Woodrow Wilson, and he was going to save it for a special occasion, and he didn't know what occasion to save it for. So he gets married, and he says, well, I think we'll save it for another time. World War I ends, and we'll save it for another time. Their first daughter is born, and he said, well, I think I'm going to save it for another time. His daughter's wedding, and he wants to save it for another time. World War II ends, and he saves it for another time. Eventually, the man himself dies, and they open his bottle at the funeral, but by then the cork had decayed, and the wine had gone bad and was ruined. And this precious gift of this elegant bottle of wine, it was too late for anyone to enjoy. Now, for the poor fellow in the story, the time to open that wine was now, multiple times in his past. But it never came. And for us, I think it serves as an illustration. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. What are you saving it for? The time to open and claim that gift of the Holy Spirit is now. You know, if in 2018 you want to lose weight, fine. Just eat less calories than you burn. It's natural science. But if you want to claim a life-changing gift, open the gates of the Holy Spirit within you. Don't wait until it's too late. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Absolutely. 2018 is not the year to merely change a single behavior. It is the year to let your baptism and to let that gift of the Holy Spirit change and illuminate your core being. Amen.